Welcome to sermons from St. John's Lutheran Church of Oaks, North Dakota. At St. John's Lutheran Church, we are built on the rock, and that rock is Christ. We are a cross-focused congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been our privilege to share the unchanging gospel with Oaks and the surrounding area for over 100 years. This sermon, entitled Who is Like God?, was preached for Jubilate, the fourth Sunday of Easter, and is based on Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 31. The Old Testament reading for Jubilate, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is from Isaiah chapter 40. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
That portion from God's holy word for consideration this morning is our Old Testament lesson from the book of the prophet Isaiah in the 40th chapter, with special emphasis on verses 25 and 26, which read as follows. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Thus far the scriptures. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Where is God? How does he show up in your life? How do you know that he's there when he does? I think it's a safe assumption on my part that many, if not most of us, have asked things like this. And these are not inappropriate questions. They're important because they get at the very heart of what it is to be a human being. That is to say, to understand ourselves, to be a human being, also requires us to know who God is and how we relate to him. But here comes the problem with this. You see, God is God, and we are not. He is infinite. We are finite. He is all-knowing and perfectly wise, and on our best days, we're limited in our understanding and wisdom. He is almighty, and there's only so much that we can do with our powers and abilities before we fall short. In other words, knowing God presents something of a challenge to us because there is this wide, insurmountable gulf that exists between us. And the gap between us and God, between his capacities and our capacities, well, it tends to worry us a little bit. We don't like to be in the dark on things, especially important stuff. And so we have a somewhat common tendency to fill in the gaps of things that we are unaware or ignorant of. And let's be honest, we're also a little bit lazy as human beings, particularly when it comes to important intellectual pursuits. And so instead of putting in the work and thinking really hard about stuff, we tend to just get lazy, go with what somebody else said, fill in the gaps with whatever we happen to come up with. So much of our knowledge of God, and I don't mean that as you Christians, but as a society, is filled in with guesswork based on happenstance. Since God is so far beyond us, a common tactic for us is to employ comparison. So we compare God to something and we say, God is like this, that, or the other thing. And while this tactic is understandable and practical, it leads to problems very quickly. So firstly,
When we compare God to things of this world to try to understand God, we unwittingly lower God from being the Almighty to being just another thing here in the universe. That's the only way the comparison works. So we lower God. Now, bear with me. This is a relatively abstract point, but it's important. You see, God is not a creature. He is not made. He doesn't have his origin in the universe like we do. He just is. And when we take something and compare it to God, like, for example, God is like this great windswept mountain vista. Okay, that sounds nice. A lot of poems have been written like that. But what have we done? We've just taken that which is almighty and unknowable beyond all human reasoning and slapped it down equivalent to an impressive mountain. Which, mountains are pretty impressive sometimes, but we've taken God from his station as God and put him here with us in the universe and tried to make our human understanding and our interaction with created things as a just comparison of who he is. And by doing this, we lower God down to be something that we can manage and manipulate. We put him on the same level as the false gods and the lying demons and the idols made out of wood and metal. Well, why do we do this? Partly because we're ignorant and we don't like that. But also because we like the idea that God is something limited that we can control. Because like an idol of wood or stone, we can control and alter them to be whatever we want them to be. We can reshape idols to be whatever our heart decides. And so if we take God and put him here with us in the way that we do with idols, well, then we try to do the same thing with him. This then makes us masters of God in our own estimation. Of course, this isn't really the case. But we human beings are always trying to pull God from his throne and to seek to replace him with something of our own choosing, often our own selves. But this is foolish. Because no matter what our estimation of God is or what we want him to be, God is in fact God. And who he is who he is, no matter how much we might think otherwise or how we might feel about it. Secondly, when we look to comparisons to find out who God is and learn something about him, we tend to come away with a very distressing view of God. Namely, we will find that we think that God is largely absent from our lives and has no interest in us or our problems. Now, this is an idea you probably ran into in history class once upon a time. It's called deism. It originated in England during the Enlightenment, and its basic premise is this. While there is a creator, there is a God, he more or less set things up and then took off. Some people call this the divine watchmaker theory. The basic image is this. God set up the universe like an old-time wind-up watch or clock, wound the thing up and bid us adieu and took off, leaving us alone to our own devices. And when we are really honest, this is how most of us approach the Christian religion. We do not see God as an intimate part of our lives, dwelling in us by his word. No, we see God as something distant and abstract that we have to work our way to through human reason. And you know how I know this? Because I see all the empty chairs here today. If one thought like a Christian, if one understood what it is to be a Christian in light of God, it would be unthinkable to miss church. You would rather die than not be here to hear the word. And we miss church for any and every opportunity we can. And yes, I'm talking to all you people watching at home. This is no excuse to despise God's word. Watching over the internet is breaking the third commandment. Not coming to church is to despise God and think not like a Christian, but like a secularist. We are built on the word. We depend on it. God is intimately part of us, and it's unthinkable to us that we would absent ourselves from God's word because that is the means by which he has promised to be in and with us for our salvation. And when this becomes optional, we're no longer thinking like a Christian. We're thinking like a deist. We're thinking like a secularist. We're behaving like the pagans all around us. This view is so distressingly common today that a number of polls have shown that even people who consider themselves to be Christian think this way. For example, A recent poll called the American World Inventory that was held in 2021 reveals that 44% of millennials who consider themselves Christian actually believe in deism, and that God only shows up when it's convenient or they need something from him. And when you have this view of God, that he's far away and not actually with us through his word like he says, well, then you'd have this view of God that he doesn't care much about us. Because if he cared, he would be here, but we don't think he is here, so therefore he must not care. Thirdly, this move to compare things to God and God to things also has the alarming effect of shutting our ears to Holy Scripture. No doubt, due to our sinful condition, we have to train ourselves to think like the Bible teaches. That means something very practical. We need to actually open our Bibles. We need to read them every single day. We need to take in what they teach us about God and what they say about him, because otherwise we're going to be guessing about it. And when we guess about it, we're going to come up with a problematic view of God. Now, this is not a new problem. This isn't something that just happened to pop up recently. We're certainly dealing with people who'd rather go anywhere and everywhere else to think about God than where he has spoken. And this view wasn't even invented by the 17th century deists or the 21st century millennials, because even in ancient times, people retreated to personal speculation, and that in turn led to doubt about God's care. Now, this is the thing that God addresses to Isaiah here. God is beyond our comprehension, which means that this attempt to use human reason by way of analogy to get to God is absolutely futile. It will never work. It will always frustrate you, and it will lead to unbelief and despair. There's no other way for it. God is beyond us. To whom shall you compare me, says the Lord? The answer is nobody. God is beyond all comparisons. And when we learn about God as he speaks to us, because if God is beyond us in our ability to make comparisons and reason about, then we have to listen to what he says. And when we listen to him, we cannot come away with the view that is so distressingly common of God today. He is not distant. He is close to his people. He comes to save us. He calls us out by number, marks us, and knows even all the hairs on our heads. The Lord who provides for the lilies of the field and the sparrows in the air provides for you as well. He has marked you, brought you into his care. He is not uncaring. Moreover, he is not silent. Yes, he is powerful. He is beyond us in every possible and conceivable way. But he uses that great strength to see to our salvation, to ensure our forgiveness, and to grant us everlasting blessing both now and in the age to come. God doesn't want us to sit and speculate and guess about him. He wants us to listen to him. And by listening, he wills that we will come to believe in him and trust that he not only cares, but is seeking to do good things, all of those good things of which we have need. Who is like God? No one. Now, this is no cause for alarm, because God, in his great power and might, his unique place as the master of all creation, has used his greatness to save you through his Son. He's not absent. He's present with you. He cares deeply about you, so much so that he gave Jesus Christ into death for you. And we know this not because we've sat and idly speculated about it, not because we've used analogy or reason to figure it out, but because God has told us this. He has promised this to us. And when we read our scriptures, we hear from this God who saves. Who is like God? There's no one that we can compare to God. His ways are not our ways. His wisdom is beyond our wisdom. And yet he uses and works things for our good, trusting that we will be delivered by the power of his word is not weakness as the world might see it, but is in fact the sign of a wise and disciplined mind. One that holds to God in his word, trusts that the Almighty means what he says and says what he means. Dear friends, it really is that simple. God has spoken. We do well to listen. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.
If you like what you heard, check out our website, stjohnsoaks.org. That's OAKES. Or visit us for services at 9 a.m. each week. Feel free to email us at stjohnsoaks@gmail.com. God bless you, and we look forward to having you enjoy our messages again next week.